So the video footage I wanted to show you this evening was about a mountain biker.
And it isn't holy or anything. It was just one of the Red Bull Extreme mountain bikers flying down over this hill. And he was riding on this narrow, narrow path. And it's amazing how that bloke was cycling at such speed, but yet he was staying within these lines. And I thought, whoa, that must raise the adrenaline of that individual. And he was belting down this hill and up and over and around and literally flying. And when you look down at his wheel, you see the path probably not as wide as this lectern. And he's probably doing 50, 40 mile an hour down this hill, up and over these rocks. And it made me wonder, this is the holy bit, it made me wonder how many times he'd fallen from that path, but yet got back up on it and rode it to get to the very, very end. And the very, very end, he comes over this enormous jump, which is all done from his head cam. And he lands and he shoots and he's on the grass and he's cruising and he goes through the finish and he puts his bike against the car at the bottom and he takes a big sigh and a big deep breath. I'm done. I had to play it a couple of times to make sure he didn't swear, mind. But he didn't. And it was really, really quite nice to see, for me to wonder how many times he'd fallen off that path, but yet got back on it. It didn't just happen. He didn't just get on that bike at the top of the hill and cycle. He had practiced. He'd fallen off. He'd probably gone down over the hill a couple of times. He'd probably busted a few things. I'm sure he did. So it made me wonder. The other bit of footage I had was a man flying on one of these flight suits between a gap which was less than 2 meters wide. You must have seen them. If you haven't, Google them. They're amazing. And he jumps out of a helicopter and he's just got one of these flight suits on. And he goes through a gap, not as big as that table. I don't know, 100 mile an hour? I don't know how fast he was going. Through great skill. But he didn't just do that. He didn't just jump out of that helicopter. I don't know whether he actually hit anything, but he practiced. And he probably did go through various hoops where he could have hurt himself. It's amazing, isn't it? These guys, they do what they do. But we only see that highlight at the very end. We never see the times when it went wrong and they picked up their bike and they put it back on the track and they went. I did find, but I couldn't find again, another clip of a guy who did the most almighty fall off of a cliff. And I fell, and the commentator was going, he's got to be dead. He picked his bike up on his shoulder, climbed back up the hill, put it down, and off he went. I thought, do you know what? I wish I could be like that with my faith. Because I fall off of my path only about every day. Back to my notes. That was about 4.5 minutes, so that was right. So the path each of us are on, some are longer than others. I hope mine's quite long. Oh, I'm welling up already. I'm a wuss. Well, none of us will meet that perfection until we finally reach heaven. I think that's where sometimes I struggle. The point of accepting where perfection actually is. Or at least where we see that perfection is. Each of us have our own walk on path. God wants us to walk blameless to fulfill his plan. But there's someone who doesn't want us to. So by dropping thoughts into our lives, events into our lives, he hinders us, maybe stalls us, maybe crashes us on our walk. But we must remember that those events that hinder us aren't of God and maybe not even of us. Jesus stood in the gap for the sin that we have done, the sin that we're doing, and the sin that we will do. That is what God's grace is. He made him who knew no sin to sin on our behalf, to be sin on our behalf. He appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. 1 Peter 1 talks about being redeemed not by perishable things like gold and silver, but by the precious blood of the unblemished Lamb. This is grace, isn't it? I don't read very much other than the Bible, super holy me. But I don't. I find it really hard reading. I don't remember. I've said this a million times. I don't remember anything I read hardly at all. But I read Phil Yancey's book about Amazing Grace, just how amazing grace is. And I can't remember most of it. But I can remember a story about what defines grace. And it stuck with me a little bit. And it was a story, if I recall, about, can you imagine selling everything you own? Every single thing you own, sticking the money in a plastic bag maybe and going down to somebody in the high street and saying, there you go, it's yours, and walking away. Now, can you imagine several reactions you might get? You might go, oh, thanks very much. You might get, I don't want that. Or you might get somebody who takes it off of you, laughs you in the face, says, ha, 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 I've got all that off you, and walks off and ignores you from that point onwards. I experienced something a little bit along the lines of that at Whitfunday a couple of years ago. And somebody had collected some of the food. And there was a family collecting some of the food. And, you know, it was always a good spread, wasn't it, at Whitfunday? We always had lots of cake and lots of sandwiches and all that sort of stuff. And they came away with the biggest plate of food I've ever seen in my life. But anyway, may God bless them. And they said, the least they could have done is labelled the sandwiches. And I stood with Mike. Mike actually was coincidentally with me. And I watched them. And I said, I think that's what God's grace is like. Because I think it probably is. He gave all that abundance to us. But yet, often, even as Christians, we don't necessarily take that much attention to it. From the Psalms. For the Lord is the sun and the shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold for those whose walk is blameless. This was written by a Levite who, as far as I can tell, was excluded from the inner sanctuary, and he's pretty gutted about it. In fact, he was quite sad and yearned to be back in that inner sanctuary. I wonder what part of his path that went wrong for him that made him out, throw him out of the inner sanctuary. He yearned for it. This talks about, so grace is given to the righteous and the blameless, as far as I can tell. Am I worthy of that? Am I righteous? Am I blameless? See, I'd say no, I'm not a righteous person. I could give you a list of unrighteous things I've done this week, without any doubt at all. Nowhere near as much as I used to. However, because Christ died for the sins that I have done, am doing, and will do, then he makes me blameless and righteous. That's pretty big, isn't it? God sold everything didn't stick it in a plastic bag and give it to me in the high street. He stuck it on a cross. I wonder if I've appreciated that quite as fully as maybe I'd like somebody to appreciate that great big bag of money that I've just sold. Don't tell Tracy, whatever you do. I've just sold my house and all my possessions and I'm going to give it to somebody in the high street. I wonder if I fully appreciate that. But yet, little or big, I still keep sinning. Yet he keeps giving. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Let's just think about a couple of people now in the Old Testament. Let's think about Jonah, maybe. A man not unlike most of us, I would say. In many ways, at least. A man who knew God really well, who heard his voice, who even ran and hid from him. God took him to a place to reset him, to reset his thoughts, then vomited him up. I was chatting to Dave about vomiting up. It was when we were in Georgia in the garden. No. we were just talking, I can't remember. Oh, members meeting. That was it, after the members meeting. And we were talking about that word vomiting up and how funny that word is in the Bible, really. It's slightly out of context in many ways, but he was saying that this word vomiting up actually probably means more confession. Getting rid of, physically getting rid of the rubbish inside you. And I sort of thought, whoa, that's pretty cool. Then after that, Jonah knew what he had to do. But yet, he still didn't understand what that forgiveness was and that grace was. And again, he still kicked back at God right and way till the very, very end. Like Jonah, we go up and down in our faith, straying from the path, a couple of steps, but we do. Not doing what he said, maybe hiding or running away in full power from the words that he has said. I'm sure I'm not alone in thinking, is that of God or is that of me? Does he want me to do that or is that just of me because that sounds fun? But often I'll run away. From the book of Hebrews, for surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, that he might be atonement for the sin of people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he was able to help those who are being tempted. Is it the path that we are on, or the approach of the path that we do? I wonder what defines Moses then. Was it a murderer? What about David? Was he an adulterer? What about Paul? Mass murderer. I always find it a little bit weird thinking about Paul because, correct me if I'm wrong, but he went about doing all his murdering in the name of God. He was a Pharisee. Very, very well-educated man. Probably quite wealthy. He came from Tarsus, which is somewhere near Turkey. And the Bible says that Tarsus was no ordinary city. I wonder what his path looked like before he met Jesus on that road. I met Jesus at one point on the road. It's good to remember that, isn't it? Because each of us have. About Mary then. Sorry, Martha first. Bit of a busybody, maybe. Being distracted about preparing things, maybe for Jesus, rather than being in his presence. Of course, you've got Mary as well, who was there. I guess she was quite a humble person. But she stayed in the presence of Christ. Jesus says this about Martha to Mary. Sorry, says to Martha about Mary. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it is not to be taken away from her. Maybe we're all busybodies sometimes. My dear brother Tony tells me that every time he rings me. We're too busy, aren't we, Tony? We're too busy. None of these people are much different to the people that we are and that what we meet in the day. Murderer, maybe not. An adulterer, a busybody, maybe a humble person. The examples in the Bible of these people, these people's lives, are put there to show us that he knows, he understands, and he came to meet us on our path. Each event defined them. Each of these events didn't define them. These were real people. So, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Corinthians, no temptation has taken you. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation you will also provide he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. I guess my message is quite simple, really. Whatever hinders us in our faith, whatever hinders our path, isn't of God. We will encounter those events, but it's how we approach them is what defines us. It defines our relationships. It defines the relationships that we have. Jesus stood in the gap so that we can be blameless and can be righteous. I mustn't get bogged down by the events. We mustn't let them take us from the path. We mustn't let them define who we are. We mustn't let them overcome us. Every day we walk alone in the path, we get closer to perfection. And only he knows when that will be. We need to fix our eyes on Christ at perfection. He has stood there with his arms wide open, with a great big smile on his face, waiting to receive us there. It's how we approach those events, however big, however small, that define us. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who will follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life, to that point of perfection. Every day, we start afresh with Christ. Life is not a moment, it's a process. After all, this is the day the Lord has made. We will be rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you. Amen.